So let's start. So I'm going to talk about OsmoGS and Tester, or how are we testing end-to-end all the OsmoCom stack, or at least part of it for now. Let's... I need to read though, so it's fine. But then I'm on the middle, right? So okay. Good. So this project was started, as far as I know, by Niels, and then it was handed over to me. And I'm mostly the one maintaining it now, or adding new features. So what's the idea behind it? As I said, we want to... Well, it's a bit problematic to test all these networks, right? So we arrived to the conclusion also yesterday, OsmoCom stack is becoming quite complex. There's a lot of parts to test, hardware, software, different setups. Yeah, I mean, we are still improving. We're already improving the testing. We are using TDCN3 now. We have some unit tests, and yeah, that's great. But still, no, not all the world is running OsmoCom yet, so we still need to interoperate with other people. So that's one of the main reasons also for using OsmoGS and Tester, so we can interoperate with other producers, let's say, or manufacturers, whatever. So we can use modems, real modems, this kind of stuff. Yep. So yeah, as I said, we care about interoperability here. Also, another good point. We want actually to have continuous integration with all this stuff. It's fine testing from time to time, but it's not that fine that you find there's a bug after 2 years of adding it. So it's I think it's nice that we are also moving towards this continuous integration platform, let's say, or way of working. It's also fine that we can reproduce these bugs. So I mean, I'm just listing the objectives we had in mind when we started this this project, let's say. So we wanted, yeah, to be able to reproduce all these bugs, because it's sometimes a bit difficult to fix bugs when you actually see them in production already, and you only have some traces but not all the information. So it's all still good to have as much information as possible. That's what one of the objectives also is to, yeah, store as much information as possible during the test run, and be able to find the issues. As we care about interoperability, so we want to test with different hardware, different software. For that reason, as we have to support all different types of software, hardware, we want to have tests which we can reuse as much as possible without actually caring about what's underneath, or not as much as possible. So. So I'm moving now towards a bit on the architecture, or how it usually looks like when you are using OsmoGS and Tester. So it all starts with Jenkins or some developer basically running OsmoGS and Tester, so running some tests. So most of the work actually happens in what we call the OsmoGS and Tester main unit, which is just a machine running OsmoGS and Tester, which, by the way, is written in Python. And then you need to pass some input to OsmoGS and Tester to enable to, at some point, of course, output a report, which we currently report as a JUnit XML. Which kind of stuff do you pass to OsmoGS and Tester? So you pass a trial. What's a trial? So basically, it's a set of, let's say, compiled programs or rootfs. So basically, if we want to test, I don't know, OsmoBSC, we have some scripts which, or Jenkins jobs, which basically take OsmoBSC code and all the dependencies from OsmoBSC, like libosmocore, lib blah, blah, blah. And it basically builds everything and generates a TargZ with, or an archive with all required dependencies and binaries required to run OsmoBSC. And we do that for each OsmoCom project or process we want to run in the test. So OsmoBC, OsmoTheorix, OsmoPCU, whatever. And of course, we do that for different architectures because, for instance, if we want to test a Sysmo BTS, of course, we need Osmo BTS Sysmo compiled for a Sysmo BTS platform instead of an x86 platform being used for the main unit. So we end up having like 15 Jenkins jobs building this this artifact, let's say. What more do we have? So of course, when we run some tests, we want to define which tests do we want to run. And as we said, we have we are supporting different hardware, right? So like Sysmo BTS, Osmo BTS TRX, with running with I don't know, A2SP200, Sysmo Cell 5000, whatever. So we need to select which hardware do we want to run for the test, because actually we want to test same scenarios for different tests, right? So what we pass is a test suite plus a scenario. So it's actually two different things. The test suite is actually the test you want to run. For instance, I want to send an SMS from one MS to the other. And then we pass an scenario, which basically defines which kind or details which kind of hardware or resources I want to use for that. So for instance, I could say, I want to run this test, which sends an SMS, but then I want to run it using a Sysmo BTS, or I want to run it using A2SP200, for instance. And of course, that information is used to handle all these hardware resources which are attached to the main unit. Again, all these different BTSs, also different modems that we have connected to this main unit by means different means like Ethernet or whatever. And of course, this hardware cannot be used by several tests at the same time. So we have in Osmo System Tester, we have a resource pool which actually checks that we are not reusing the same hardware for different tests in parallel or by several users at the same time. So basically, when you run a test and you say, I want a Sysmo BTS, Osmo System Tester will look at resources pool, which is basically a description of the hardware, and check which one is in use, which is not, and then it will allocate it temporarily for it and prevent others from using it. So more on architecture point of view, more like not in pipeline, but in architecture point of view, how does it look like? So you're usually interested into writing a test. We will see an example later on how does this test look like. But I mean, of course, as it's in Python, you can imagine just a simple Python script, which basically orchestrates all these resources. As we said, we are defining which kind of hardware do we want to use for this test. And this is presented to the test by Osmo System Tester as a set of different objects that the test can request, generic objects, like a BTS or a BSC or a modem. And each of these objects has as generic as possible interfaces or APIs that can be used. For instance, the modem has an API to register to a network, has an API to send an SMS, an API to call some MS, an API to wait for a receiving call, this kind of stuff. For the BTS, similar stuff. There's an API to start the BTS, to connect it, see if it's connected or not, whatever. And of course, each of these generic APIs used by tests are implemented using different classes or implementations of this interface. So for each BTS, we have a different Python class actually handling this. So for instance, you would have a Sysmo BTS class that actually what it does, I mean, some of these implementations are a bit hacky still, but it would, for instance, connect through SSH to a Sysmo BTS, copy all this trial that we were talking about, so basically all this Osmo BTS Sysmo binary with all the libraries. It could copy it through SSH to a Sysmo BTS that is connected to the Osmo GSM tester main unit, and it would start the Sysmo BTS there, configure it. We will see also how do we configure everything to work together later. It would manage it. The same for the BC, for the BSC. We also support like a simple ESME, which is written using Python as mpplib. So we can test, for instance, if we want to send an SMS from one modem to the ESME if it can reach it correctly or not. Well, as you can see, basically it talks to different hardware. In the case of for the modems, we are so far using Ofono to handle the modems. We may later on also maybe add support for OsmocombB or I don't know, like patches welcome, of course. So that's how the hardware setup looked like, basically. It's not like the latest photo, but I had it there, so just to give you an idea on how it looks like. You see the modems in there, so the one without the box, let's say. The main unit is the one on the bottom, and you see how all the RF network is connected through wiring. And at this point, there's only like two BTS that they are labeled there. Just to give you more like of a real world hardware perspective. We will go through different objects I told before, I presented before, and just give you some insight on how is everything configured, right? As we said, we have a set of resources, and of course we have to define them so that OsmoGSM tester knows how to use them. This is a sample resources file. It's not the entire resources file we are using in the production setup, which again is the one I showed you here. But it's some of the objects there. So basically we have IP addresses because we have several IP addresses set on the OsmoGSM tester main unit. And for simplicity, what we do when we run some process, we just, we need some IP address to bind sockets or ports, whatever, to it. So we need some way to allocate these IP addresses so we don't reuse them for several tests at the same time, so they don't collide. Other types of objects, well, as we said, we have BTS. You can have you can see an example here. The first is a Sysmo BTS. We're defining we have a Sysmo BTS, and we provide some information to configure it. Like, I want to use this IPA unit ID. The Sysmo BTS is actually connected to this IP address. It's using this band, or I want to use this band. I want to configure it to use a direct PCU. And basically, I can state, here this BTS actually supports this kind of ciphers. Because then we can match. So the idea here is that actually we may want to match against scenarios. So for instance, if I want to test A53 in a test, I of course need a BTS, which of course supports it, because otherwise it makes no sense. So what I would do to test this, I would create a test, but then of course I want to run this test with a scenario that explicitly says I want a BTS which supports this cipher. So that's why it's there, because then when OsmoGSM tester tries to find a BTS that matches the scenario, it will look at this information, and then it will find the match and it will take the BTS to use for the test. One more. ARFCNs are actually there, but they are not currently being used correctly as a resource. I will talk about it later. It's one of the to-do things. And then we have different modems. So you can see basically we identify the modems by a path which is provided since not that long ago by Ofono. We then provide the KI for the SIM card that is set up on the modem, so we can basically dynamically register these IMSIs into the HLR when we do tests. And again, we provide also some features that the phone supports. Again, like you can see which cipher supports and which features. Because for instance, if we had a lot of, that's I'm going to talk about that later too, but we found a lot of issues when using Ofono with modems. Like different modems support some stuff or they don't support it correctly. So we have to also be careful when we want to use some Ofono feature or some modem feature to actually select the good modem, because if I want to test to send an SMS from one modem to another, but one of the modems doesn't support correctly sending an SMS or receiving an SMS, of course, I have to select the correct modem which supports it. I'll go for that at the end, but yeah, it's one of the conclusions basically. We spend a lot of time trying to work around modem issues. And sometimes I have I have the feeling they should be less smart. I think they try to be too smart and Okay, so let's move on. Next thing, we support configuration templates, and that's actually what we use to configure the different processes or resources that we are using. So as we said, we are allocating IPs dynamically, for instance. So that means that, of course, we have to set up all the VTY configurations to match each other so they can connect each time. We have templates for each of them, and then we fill them up as we see. So some stuff from here, actually, like the IPA unit ID, if we go back, actually you can find it there. So it's already configured here. Some of this stuff is dynamically configured, let's say, or like can be added by the test. So for instance, if you are testing an ESME, you can add an ESME on the test on the MSC, on the SMSC, and it will end up there. So we can generate templates on time, let's say. So here's an example of a suite and a scenario. On the left, you have the suite. So in here, it's the A over IP SMS suite, which basically only contains so far one SMS, sorry, one test. And the test, again, it's to send one SMS from one modem to another modem. And then we check that it was received correctly, and we check that the content is fine, this kind of stuff. What are we defining here? So basically, we are stating, look, for this suite, so this set of tests, I require this set of resources, right? So I will need five IP addresses because I need to run, as you can see, an MSC, a BSC, HLR, STP, MGW, and I want to assign an IP for each of them. Then I will need a BTS, of course, because I need to connect the modem somewhere. And I will need two modems, of course. As you can see, we are not defining BSCs or MSCs or whatever because so far we don't need to lock them because they are unlimited resources in the sense that we don't need hardware for it. So I mean, we don't really need to. We don't have a limited amount of BSCs that we can run so far. So we are not ha handling them as resources. It may change in the future. And then on the right, we can see two different scenarios, as I was saying. So like the first scenario, it's saying, look, when you have to handle a BTS, it has to be of type Osmo BTS Sysmo. And the other one, the scenario TRX B200, it's saying basically almost the same. It's saying it has to be of type Osmo BTS TRX, and I want to take the one that the label is ETOS B200. And then if actually we go back to the resources definition, we will see that of course you will match those. For the first scenario, the first BTS would match. For the second would match. And the blue letters in there basically show you the blue letters in there show you how it would work when you run Osmo GSM tester. So basically here you're running Osmo GSM tester. Minus S means a suite, and you can pass several suites to it, so you can ask it to run several suites. In the first case, you would be saying, hey, I want to run it with the Sysmo scenario, so that would run the A over IP SMS with the Sysmo BTS, and then once you're finished with that, then run it with the TRX B200. So that's a sample test. It's again, we are taking the SMS test, so one MS sending an SMS to another one. We can see three major blocks. So the first block, it's basically requesting the resources or the different components that we want to use for the test. So we are asking the suite, please provide me with an HLR, please provide me with a BTS. And the suite would have, has had allocated those from looking at the resources and the scenarios. So it will take the required ones. Second block, basically we start everything. So in the case of the HLR, the implementation would just run the Osmo HLR process. For most of them, it's only starting a process. So you can see that then we are telling the BSC to add this BTS. So this is how we dynamically basically create all these structures, and then we generate the VTY configurations from the templates we saw before. And on the right side, we can see already like the test doing really something. So first of all, the test is waiting for the BSC to state that the BTS is connected. Then we are adding the subscribers from the 2MS to the HLR. Remember, we had the KI on the configuration, so we can do all this kind of stuff. Then we are telling the modems to connect to the MSC we created, or to the core network. So we will basically telling Ofono, please tell the modem to connect. And then we wait until the modem state that they are connected. And then again, we actually wait for the MSC to state that the MS are connected. So basically, we are cross-checking here that both sides stay the same. Like the MS says, I'm connected, and the other ones also. Because as we said, we are having some issues with the Ofono, so it's also nice to sometimes see if actually it's our fault or if it's the Ofono or this kind of stuff. So and then once finally we have the 2MS registered to our BTS plus core network, we basically tell one MS to send an SMS to the other one, and then the test waits for the second MS, the MTMS, to receive the SMS. And actually, this SMS was received. As you can see, there's the SMS that was sent was passed as a parameter, so it will basically also cross-check that the SMS received was the same that was sent, or it has the same content. So now we're looking at some other features that we had. We have in Osmo GSM Tester. So as I said, we are outputting JUnit XML. So this is an example of a test failure in Osmo GSM Tester. So I don't know if you can read it from there, but in this case, for instance, a test failed because a process that we are managing, like an Osmo BSC, for instance, ended prematurely. So that means, for instance, nowadays we have more output. Like we output which of the process we was ended. So this photo is a bit out of date. But anyway, so it provides us like Osmo BSC ended that prematurely. That means it finished before we actually told it to stop the process. And that, of course, usually means there was an error, there was a seg fault, whatever. So basically what you could do in this case is, of course, we are logging all the output from all the processes. We are storing the core dumps also. So it's fairly easy if one of the processes crash or there's an output failure, you can go there and debug it quite easily. Of course, we are also storing pickup files for all the processes. So it's quite a lot of information. So what's the current status? It's we're running several tests, as we said, mostly hourly. This is the kind of test that we are running. So we test network registration. We test different encryptions. We are testing that we can send and receive SMS. We also involve SMPP in the process sometimes. We test the USSD code to receive your phone extension. But I mean, that's good. That means we are testing all USSD, right? Yeah, it's fine. So we are testing GPRS, only the signaling though. So we are not testing real, so data plane. So we are testing that actually the modem can attach and that the PDP context can be established. But for the data, we are still not testing it because we have to set up all the routing stuff. So basically we have this issue in which Yeah, the routing is a bit difficult because then you have to send your packets through the interface created by the modem, but then at some point you will receive it on the GGSN, which will try to route the same packet again somewhere, and of course it will route it, it will drop it. So we have to create different namespaces or, I have to come out with a good solution. I have some ideas, but I didn't implement it yet because again, to do this kind of stuff, you usually need a root access. So it's a bit more difficult to handle because I need to escalate powers and write and do this kind of stuff. So I'm still thinking about the best solution. For voice calls, actually, also we support signaling, no data yet. So we can actually establish a call, keep it for 5 seconds, and then close it and check that everything's fine. I think the reason for actually not supporting data here is because we are also having some issues with modems handling data. So maybe Harald knows a bit better the situation. I think he did some research.
Well, the problem is that you can hardly find any USB or mini PCIe modem that does voice to begin with. So it's very, very few modems that you can find. And if you can find them, then sometimes it's an experimental firmware. It's not officially supported and it's broken in many ways. And if you find it at all, then the audio is never exported as USB audio. Some do some proprietary GSM voice frame over UART handling, which you then need to implement. And the only interface that you can find is PCM bus. And that's actually why we are now building hardware that can interface PCM multiple not synchronous PCM slaves, because each modem wants to be a PCM master. So if you have multiple modems, you need basically n number of PCM slaves that can get the PCM audio and then feed that back to a PC. And we're building specific hardware for that because it's not possible any other way.
Okay, so there we go. Then which hardware are we currently testing? So we have a Sysmo BTS. I think it's model 1002. For the Etus, I think it's the model B 210. And then we are testing a Sysmo Cell 5K. We are testing a 2 nano BTS. So the difference between those is basically the band on which they operate. And then we are testing with an Octo BTS 3500. So, and for the modems, we actually have three modems there, three different types of modems. We have the Sierra Wireless MC modem, which is actually the one we are using for the test. Because, so right now, of course, you have a list of modems, and then we only use up to two modems in one test, and only, so we put this Sierra Wireless, the first two in the list, so they are always picked up. And we did that on purpose because the other two modems, like the Quectel EC20 and the Gobi 2000, we are having some issues, or they are not supporting all the features that we would like. Some of them have some issues receiving some SMS, some of them with voice calls, different issues. So for some of them, we have some issues open. So if you go, I will show you later. On the Osmo GSM tester Redmine, there's a few tickets related to Ofono. So if also somebody wants to contribute to Ofono, it's fine for us. So we talk about the current state. Let's just list a few things about what are we going to or planning for the future or could be nice for the future. Of course, adding more BTS hardware. So we are planning to add Lime SDR, so probably an open cellular at some point would be nice. Better MS support, so that means fixing some stuff in Ofono. So for instance, just to give you some examples, when you now create a PDP context, you can have a PDP context V4, V6, or V4.6, and you can state that on the Ofono API, but actually on the implementation side, they are not correctly doing or sending the QMI commands correctly to the modem. So basically, even if you say I want a V4 context or a V6 context, you will see that actually it asks for a V4 V6 context or for a, so it actually tries several ways, and that's okay if you are running your phone. But of course, if you want to test some specific feature, it's not that nice. Yeah, some other idea regarding mesh would be again to add an Osmocom BB related phone, like a Motorola one, so we can support it on the test. So basically, it would be taking the modem API and implementing it using Osmocom or whatever. So some next features, adding data plane for the voice calls, adding data plane for the GPRS or packet switch in general, adding 3G testing. So I think there's nothing really stopping me from adding it now, just basically lack of time. But I think we have even another 3G there ready set up on the on the Osmo GSM tester main unit. So it should be hopefully straightforward to add it there. And then what we are missing too is an ARFCN resource allocation algorithm. So that's something it's been pending for a while, and basically because I have to invest a bit of time on it. So we have this issue in which actually the idea is that if we run several tests in parallel, of course we don't want to different BTSs to use the same ARFCNs, because of course they could collide between them. So we have to allocate different ones. But that turned to be a bit more complex than I first thought, because you have to take like different variables into account. So there's a Redmine issue about that. You need to actually to write some kind of algorithm to really pick which ARFCN you should be using or not or whatever. I mean, I don't remember all the cases I found, but it's in the description, and it has prevented me from doing that now. So that means I think right now we are almost always using the same ARFCN. So it's set up quite hard-coded, more or less, or in the configuration. Which of course that means that we are not running tests in parallel. So far we are really only running one test after the other. And then that means that the full test takes like 45 minutes nowadays to run. It's 45 tests, more or less, I think. But yeah, I mean, you have to think that each test we run, that means you have to start the Sysmo BTS, well, don't start Sysmo BTS, but Osmo BTS Sysmo. You have to copy stuff to Osmo BTS Sysmo. You have to power on the modems. You have to wait for the modems to scan and find the network. You have to wait for the modem to connect to the network, all this kind of stuff. Actually, so regarding the modems also, we had really issues with that, because we saw that modems were stating that they were connected to the network when they were powered up, but they were not connected to the network. But so that's what the smartness I was talking about. So sometimes I wish that they were not so smart, because then, of course, if you are testing this kind of stuff and then the modem says it's connected, but your BTS says it's not connected, and of course you check the pickup traces and you see that it's really not connected, but the modem states it's connected, then it's, you have an issue there. So I think we fixed that basically by incrementing the location area code on each test we run. So every time we power on the modem, we increment the lag. And then since then, I think the issue is fixed. So some final remarks about it. So it's proven to be useful. It really helps. We found some interesting regressions there. A few days ago we actually enabled address sanitizer, and we catch I had to fix 4 or 5 bugs in one day. Sometimes it's nice because you find these bugs which you usually don't find if you don't have a specific configuration. So for instance, somebody changes something in the implementation of libosmocore, but forgets that I don't know, Osmo BSC is using this function, but then it's taking into consideration some implementation details, and then of course suddenly it doesn't work. But this kind of stuff that sometimes happens. Or somebody removes VTY configuration from the VTY code, and then of course you have to remove that from I don't know, the configuration. So it's good to check this kind of stuff. And the good thing is that also, as it's real hardware, we don't have control over it. It fails sometimes in unexpected ways, and that's good because then it lets us test some paths that we don't usually control, or when we are like manually developing or testing, we don't usually take them into account. Like for instance, I think like Niels fixed an FSM bug, which happened when some of the phone calls sometimes was not handled correctly or something like that, or was released, or so it really helps with this kind of stuff. As I said, controlling the modems is really hard. It took a big amount of hours, really, to have it working more or less stable. It helped. Yeah, we had to contribute to other projects which are not directly related or inside Osmocom, like Ofono, Python SMPPlib, or PyDBus. I think it's actually some stuff. It's quite reusable for other projects, and it has been found already. Like for instance, Holga reused some of this code to test, like let's say, massive parallel location update for modems using this Erlang interface. I'm finishing. Yeah. So and yeah. Basically, the idea is to have some kind of upstream collection of test suites that we can share between all of us. So, I mean, maybe we don't have all the hardware, but somebody wants to do a setup so we can share the test at least. So, yeah, here you have a bit of information. So you can find the issue tracker, yeah, the code, manual. We have some Ansible scripts. So if you want to set an OsmoGSM tester main unit with all the dependencies required, it's there. And yeah, you can look also for the Jenkins job. To see if something's failing or not. And that's it. Good.